Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 11, the Gospel of John. Believers of Israel, the Old Testament days, of course, were given the hope of Christ's coming. And that hope included that he would come the first time to redeem mankind, and they're also given quite a bit of information in the Old Testament about what his second coming would accomplish. It says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham looked for the city of God, referring to the New Jerusalem. So Abraham saw, as part of his hope, of course, the coming of Christ to redeem mankind, but also the coming of that perfect new city, where the Bible concludes. Believers throughout the Old Testament had the hope of beating death, and that hope was the resurrection. There's a section of Scripture here. This is dealing with the death of Lazarus. In verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, unto Martha, Lazarus' sister, Jesus saith unto Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, what Jesus Christ was referring to here was certainly that Lazarus was going to rise from the dead, you know, prior to the great resurrection. But this demonstrates that Martha, other believers, Israelites, would have been very familiar with the resurrection. And you'll notice that here it's referred to as one event, the resurrection. Look at John chapter 5 while we're in the Gospel of John. John chapter 5. It says, in verse 28, well, how about verse 27? It says, and hath given him, God the Father hath given him, the Son, Jesus Christ, authority to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Everybody that's in the graves, all people who've died, shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In this resurrection of the dead, there's two categories of people. One, them that have done good. You know, there's a place in the next chapter in the Gospel of John where somebody asks Jesus Christ, what must I do to do the works of God? And Jesus Christ responds by saying, believe on he whom God has sent. Believe on me. Believe on the Christ. The criteria for doing good is believing concerning Christ. But it says, they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. In this resurrection, two drastically different outcomes, huh? One is a resurrection of life, the other is a resurrection of damnation, resurrection of judgment. Look at Luke chapter 14. Chapter 14. In verse 14, it says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. The resurrection of the just. The resurrection of the just is they that do good, and that's a resurrection unto life. Look at Acts chapter 24. So there's many references. There's a whole half of a chapter in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 37, that talks about the resurrection. It's that section that talks about them dry bones, if you've ever heard of that gospel song. Luke chapter 24, it says in verse 14, "For this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they called heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope towards God, that they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the," what? "Unjust." Resurrection of the just is a resurrection of them that do good, and that's a resurrection unto life. And the resurrection of the unjust is them that do evil, and that's a resurrection unto damnation, or resurrection unto judgment. Another reference, how about Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11 is very significant because it shows the relationship between believing and hope. That people that had the hope of Christ's coming, it fueled their believing. That they stood, that as a result of seeing Christ going to come to earth, that Jesus Christ would come and accomplish redemption, and that also Jesus Christ would come and make everything right, they stood and they believed God and they saw tremendous things. And this whole chapter is about that. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in verse 33, "Who through believing subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions," it's Old Testament believers, "quenched the violence of fire." Remember, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, and how about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that great fiery furnace? Well, they quenched the violence of fire by believing God, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. How about the Shunammite woman? And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a, what? Better resurrection. Now, from what we've seen, what do you think is the better resurrection? Well, the better resurrection is the resurrection of the just unto life. Far different outcome than the resurrection of the unjust unto judgment. Now, these events are recorded in the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. After the gathering together, the next administration, as we saw in our previous session, is called the times of restitution of all things. That everything will be made right. Christ returns to gather the church. That's the last event of this current administration, and it's the first event of the next administration. After the church is gone, evil is no longer restrained. And so the whole earth becomes very, very dark, very evil, very idolatrous. And this causes the rise of the beast, the rise of the false prophet. Then after that period of time, Jesus Christ returns with his church to earth in judgment. And we'll pick up the record in Revelation chapter 19. In verse 11, it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make," what? "War." Righteous judgment, righteous war, you know, war against evil. "His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This, of course, is Jesus Christ. And this is Jesus Christ returning to earth with his church. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know who this is referring to? This is us. This is the church. I think a lot of us throughout the years have enjoyed varied types of fiction, whether it be science fiction or whether it be, dramatic movies. I remember probably now 30 years ago or more, when the movie Star Wars and that series came out, and it was just exciting and it was far out and it was weird. But remember, all that stuff was fiction. You know, there might be a lot of things that people really enjoy today. I know, our boys like Transformers, and then they like some of the video games that they get to play now. Well, this that we're reading is not fictional. This is truth. This is going to happen. And this is us returning with Jesus Christ. Remember, 1 Thessalonians tells us that at the time of the gathering together that we're going to be forever with the Lord. Well, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is returning to earth, and we're returning to earth with him. It says again in verse 14, and the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cries with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that dwell in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. Man, what a showdown, what a confrontation. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with what? Brimstone. This is God's judgment. This is war carried out by Jesus Christ and his army of gathered saints here upon earth, judging the beast and the false prophet. And they are cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is referred to, this event is referred to in the church epistles, if you didn't know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 for a second. It says, verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels or mighty messengers in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So back to Revelation chapter 20. Now, after this incredible battle, this incredible fight that goes on where the beast and the false prophet are put alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Jesus Christ having returned to earth with his church. It says in verse 1 of chapter 20, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him," how long? 1,000 years. So Satan now is bound for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. Boy, oh boy, the great accuser, shut up. Isn't that, this is just, these are great words to read. This is where, boy, if I was a shouting Methodist, I'd say, glory, hallelujah, praise God, amen. Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ, how long? 1,000 years. So this is talking about believers who stood during the Great Tribulation. Believers who stood against the beast. And it says that they were killed, that they were beheaded for the witness of Christ. But the rest of the dead, verse 5, lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first, what? Resurrection. What we're going to read here in Revelation chapter 20 is about two resurrections. The first resurrection is for believers who will stand during the time of the book of Revelation, after the church is gone. And those that stand during that time period, it says, will have been put to death. That just shows you how evil the earth will be after the church is gathered. Basically, anybody who doesn't receive the mark of the beast, anybody who doesn't worship him, will be killed, represented here figuratively by beheading. But God promises a special resurrection for those special believers during that awful time. So it's the first resurrection. Verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So now, who is present with Christ? Well, it's the church. You know, we've returned with him to earth, but it's also the believers who are part of this special resurrection, this first resurrection of those martyred for the witness of Christ during the Revelation period. And then it says in verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of which is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and did what? Devoured them." You know, all this great army of Satan getting devoured by fire from heaven. "And the devil, which deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, this is the only reference in the Bible to this eternal torment, and it's reserved for Satan, it's reserved for the beast, and it's reserved for the false prophet. They will be tormented forever and ever, praise the Lord. And I saw a great white throne, verse 11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now this is the great resurrection that we read about repeatedly in the Gospels, in the book of Acts. It's referred to in the Old Testament. It's the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Remember, the first resurrection is a resurrection of those martyred during the next administration for the witness of Christ. Now is the great white throne judgment. And the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books are open. The book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, or the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So those whose names are found in the book of life are those who are part of the better resurrection. You can see from this that the better resurrection is a better outcome, because it's a resurrection, as we read, unto life. Those whose names are not found written in the book of life, it's the bad resurrection. It's a resurrection unto judgment, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. They will be put to death. It's a resurrection unto judgment. So the Bible does describe two resurrections. The first is a special resurrection for believers who are martyred during the next administration. The second resurrection is the resurrection of everybody else. This that we're reading about is when Abraham's going to get up. This is when Isaac's going to get up. This is when Jacob's going to get up, when King David's going to get up. And their names are found written in the book of life, and their resurrection is the better resurrection unto eternal life. But it's also the time when those unjust ones, those who've rejected God and rejected his plan of salvation, rejected the Messiah, their names are not found written in the book of life, and they are put to the second death. One of the great lies that the adversary has circulated really since Eden is that thou shalt not surely die. The big problem that mankind faces is death. Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, all of us will surely die. But God has a solution to death. For Christians, those who have died since Pentecost, they will be part of the gathering together, because the dead in Christ will rise first. We're all going to be changed, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air in our new bodies. So at that time, there will be others made alive. Christians will be made alive unto eternal life. Remember, Jesus Christ now is the only one who's been raised to eternal life. But at the time of the gathering together, all Christians who have died will be raised from the dead. We will be changed and put on our immortal bodies, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And after the church is gone, there's a time of incredible tribulation, of incredible consequence, so bad that any of the believers that stand during that time period are going to die, as we read. But God has promised for them a special resurrection, the first resurrection, a resurrection of all those that are martyred during the Revelation period. And then after Satan is bound, after this thousand-year reign of the church, of those people who are part of the first resurrection, then comes this incredible confrontation between Satan, who's been loosed, and then he is taken care of. And then comes this second resurrection, the great white throne judgment, where everybody else will be made alive. Those that are just, those who have been justified by believing concerning Jesus Christ, will have life. Those who are unjust will not. They will be put to the second death. But you can see that in this process, it is the times of restitution of all things. Because Satan is being handled, the beast and the false prophet are being handled, unbelievers are being handled, and all believers throughout all time are raised unto eternal life. Praise God. At this point in time, there will be a return of what God rightfully owns unto him. Praise God.